Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
List of philosophies, trying to get through C all the way from A to Z. We're in the middle of C. There's absurdism, which I rather like, actual idealism, as opposed to idealistic idealism. I love that one. Actualism, where things actually are. I like that one going through there. Anti-realism is interesting. Anti-reductionism. So I wonder what anti-reductionism is. It's where you actually reduce things, I suppose, to the absurd. I don't know what... aesthetics is great. It's a position in science and metaphysics that stands to construct with reductionism, anti-holism, by advocating that not all properties of a system can be explained in terms of its constituent parts and their relationships. I can sort of see that there's Gödel's theorem saying that that's much so, but that's almost doing it anyway. We're through C. There is a Christian existentialism. So it's existential means to actually start from the fact that you exist. It's sort of like as a starting point for philosophy. It's sort of a more profound thing rather than getting God. Aristotelism is that there is actually a system of explanation. Platonic stuff is the fact that we're all in the minds of gods. Stoicism is more of an ethics. Put those things aside. Can we do the greatest good or virtue? Now, virtue is also in Aristotle, is an actual physical object. A virtue is an object. It's pretty interesting. How you go now, axiology. This is showing my head. In there's the Averroism and Avicennism. It's ancient Islamic stuff. Axiology is the philosophical study of value. It is either collective terms for ethics and aesthetics. Okay. Philosophical fields that depends crucially on the notions of worth, or the foundation of these fields, and thus similar value to value theory and meta-ethics. I don't know what that is really is. It is interesting. Communitarianism as opposed to individualism, which I think is there. Chaos theory. We've gone through it here. It's confirmation holism is we're up to. Compatibilism and incompatibilism is the belief that free will deterministic, usually compatible, and that it is possible to believe both without being logically inconsistent. Compatibilists believe freedom can be present or absent in situations of reason that have nothing to do with metaphysics. I just think whether you've got free will or it's an illusion of free will, it really doesn't matter, whether it's a virtual reality or not, because you can hurt people without it. Okay, now confirmation holism. Philosophy of science. Confirmation holism is called epistemological holism. Is a view that no individual statement can be confirmed or disconfirmed by empirical tests, but only a set of statements. Is a view to Willard von Orman Quine, who motivated holism through its extending. I think I sort of agree with that, but I can't see why it would be called confirmation holism. Let's see if we can get up here. Doom's idea, roughly, was that no theory of any type can be tested in isolation, but only when embedded in a background of other hypotheses about initial conditions. Quine thought that this background involved not only such hypothesis, but a whole web of belief, which, among other things, include mathematical, logical theory, and scientific theories. His last claim, is known as the Duum Quinthesis. I sort of can see that you need more science for it. I'm just going to read this sentence. By 1845, astronomers found the orbit of the planet Uranus around the Sun departed from expectations. And not concluding that Newton's universal law of gravitation was flawed, however, astronomer John Couch Adams, as well as Urbain Le Verrier, independently predicted a new planet, eventually known as Neptune, and even calculated its weight and orbit through Newton's theory. And yet, neither did this empirical success of Newton's theory verify Newton's theory. Verrier reported that Mercury's perihelion, the peak of its orbit ellipse near the Sun, advanced each time Mercury completed an orbit, a phenomenon not predicted by Newton's theories, in which astrophysics are also confident in that they predicted a new planet named Vulcan, which is a number of astronomers subsequently claimed to have seen. In 1905, however, Einstein's special theory of relativity claimed that space and time both relative, refuting the very framework of Newtonian theory that claimed space and time was absolute. I'm just trying to work out what this meaning. Oh, yeah, to me, it's... That was interesting about Vulcan, the belief that a theory is so complete, I suppose. So there's confirmation holism. Okay, Confucianism, consequentialism. That says consequentialism is a class of normative ethical theories holding that consequences of one conduct is the ultimate basis of any judgment. And look, I agree with that. That sort of tends to go in with maths, that ultimately you have to basically run it through a probability theory, a quality matrix, and work out do I have 60 people alive or 20 people alive at the end of this process? When I'm going to them, do I explain to those 20 people that you've lost 40 people you've thing, you don't care about any of the consequences? I find it really difficult. It means that consequentialism means that people who can control information can control destiny. Conservatism include organic society, constructivist epistemology. Is a branch of philosophy of science maintaining that scientific knowledge is constructed by a scientific community who seek to measure and construct models of the natural world. Natural science therefore consists of mental constructs. Well, that's right. I think this is continental philosophy, which is just it's to do with Kant and those other cosmopolitanism is the ideology that all human beings belong to a single community. Based on a shared mortality. A person who adheres to the idea of cosmopolitan in any of these forms is called a cosmopolitan or cosmopolite. Critical rationalism, which I think is, it's Karl Popper. The logic of scientific, this is paradigm shifts and everyone having a sense that they're on board but not. Can't tell the difference between being on the tour bus of a theory and actually outside the tour. Critical realism. I love critical realism. Philosophy of perception. Critical realism is a theory that some of our senses data can and do accurately represent external objects, properties, and events, while other sense data does not accurately represent any object. Objects. Put simply, and let's read what this says. It's going to take a little while. My internet's rather slow. Immanuel Kant, I'm going to really trying to go. This is trying to get to work out if there's. I think Immanuel Kant had the not other type of thing. Oh no, God. Well, critical realism is not coming up for me. No, critical realism. Put simply, critical realism highlights a mind dependent aspect of the world that reaches. to understand and comes to an understanding of a mind-independent world. It's interesting. For me, I find maths incredibly interesting. Cynicism from Diogenes, dog-likeness, like that. Czech philosophy. That's beautiful. Czech philosophy. I notice Aussie doesn't have any philosophy. Aussie philosophy. You shall be right, mate. So cynicism. Often ensued as pure speculative philosophy, emerging rather in the course of intellectual debates in the fields of education. Oh, God. Introducing epistemological problem to the modern Czech philosophy, which in turn influenced the discourse on symbol and symbolization, semantics. Czech philosophers have also played a central role in the development of phenomenology, which the German speaker, Eben Husserl, was born in the Czech lands. Phenomenology is a philosophical study of structures of experience and consciousness. There you go. I suppose you can't really... I feel also like a caged animal. That ends C, so we A, B, C, D. Danish philosophy. I sort of love that idea. Danish philosophy has a long tradition as a part of Western philosophy. That's all it says. So what the heck do they want to do in that? That's it. I don't think there is anything more to it. Come on. No. Well, that's it. Danish philosophy. Oh, no. Taoism or Taoism. The Tao. In most scientific, Taoism, however, denotes the principle. Well, let's read about Taoism. The Tao. The Tao of motorcycle mechanics. The Tao is a fundamental idea in most Chinese philosophical schools. In Taoism, however, it denotes the principle that is the source, pattern, substance of everything that exists. Taoism differs from Confucianism by not emphasizing religious rituals and social order. But it's similar in a sense that it's teaching about the various disciplines for achieving perfection by becoming one with the unplanned rhythms of the universe, called the way or the Tao. Unplanned rhythms of the universe. That's real meditation sort of stuff you hear in yoga classes. It's pretty frightening. Taoist ethics vary depending on a particular school, but generally tend to emphasize wu wei, action without intention, naturalness, simplicity, spontaneity, three treasures, compassion, frugality, and humility. Wouldn't that be nice if people like that? You can imagine. Okay, I'll come off it. Oops. Okay, so Confucianism. Now, we've done Confucianism, Taoism, deconstructionist. Deism means God, denialism. I like that. But deconstruction, deconstructive stuff. Deconstruction is an approach to understand the relationship between text and meaning. This approach consists of conducting readings of texts looking for things that run counter to the intended meaning of the structural unity of a particular text. I'll have to read that. Deism is position, a source of religious knowledge asserts that reason and observation of the natural world are sufficient to establish the existence of the supreme being. Denialism. The person asserts to deny physiology of human behavior. Denialism is a person's choice to deny reality as a way to avoid psychologically uncomfortable truth. Well, I believe that denialism is great. That's a great. Deontology is a normative ethical theory. So this is a theory which gets you to everyone to do the same thing. That the morality of an action should be based on whether that action itself is right or wrong under a series of rules rather than based on the consequences. So, consequentialism and deontology is right. I think you need both. One should should raise flags, and the other is a model you just can't go, oh, I buggered up that model. I find it determinism. I wonder whether that goes against chaos theory. Is a philosophical belief that all events are determined completely by previous existing causes, so you can't have chaos theory. Deterministic theories throughout history of philosophy have sprung from diverse, sometimes overlapping things. It's really interesting methods. Dialectic is a way of discussing things. Plato had dialectic. Socrates, they all had dialectic. It's just that Aristotle was taking it one step forward, like on steroids. And then you've got Hegel, who believes in material dialecticism. That is where you don't resolve something mathematically. You just have a chat about what you think the size of it should be. Let's read what it says here. Is a base of discourse between two people holding different points of views on a subject, but wishing to establish the truth through reason argument. Isn't that beautiful? Dialectical materialism, which is, now that's interesting, developed by Karl Marx and Hegel, but it's Hegel. In contrast with the Hegelian dialectic, it emphasized the idealist observation of human experiences dependent on the mind's perceptions. Oh, okay, that's an interesting thing. In a way that dialectalism is Hegel, but that really goes back to the ancient philosophy. Enough. I think the critique of that was just amazing. If you wanted to destroy someone's mind, I would recommend going up and giving a young mind, teaching them Hegel, and you just fry them. Now, let's read this. Dialectical materialism accepts the evolution of the natural world and the emergence of new qualities of being new stages of evolution. It's sort of like dialectical materialism is the idea of evolution. Hegel's made constant use of metaphysical insight that the higher levels of existence emerges from and has its roots in the lower, that higher levels constitute a new order of being with its irreducible laws, that the process of evolutionary advance is governed by the laws of development, which reflect basic properties, matter in motion as a whole. This goes back to Newton. You can see how they've just added things which are themselves. Didactic. Now, remember what didactic is. This is really good for me in terms of brain. Didactism is the philosophy that emphasizes instructional and informative qualities of literature and other types. Didactic. That is where I teach stuff. To be quite honest, a lot of these philosophies, I just take a section of it. Didactic. Digital philosophy. I love that. Discordianism, a dualistic cosmology, De Vita. Digital philosophy. What is a digital philosophy? Going through here. Digital philosophy is a direction in philosophy and cosmology advocated by certain mathematicians and theoretical physicists, including Edward Ficken. It's really interesting, digital philosophy, because the digital one or not is Leibniz. It really goes into it. Well, let's see what if there's a bit more to it. So that's digital philosophy. And can you do it? What's it going to do? Digital philosophy. Digital philosophy is a modern reinterpretation of good Leibniz, modernist metaphysics. I like this. It replaces Leibniz's monics with aspects of cellular automata. Since following Leibniz, the mind can be given to computational treatment, digital philosophy attempts to consider some main issues of the philosophy of the mind. Digital approach attempts to deal with non-deterministic quantum theory. Oh, love it. Oh, I don't know. Well, yeah, game. Where it assumes that all information must have infinite and discrete means of representation, and that the evolution of a physical state is governed by local deterministic rules. I think this person's a bit lost. But I must admit, Leibniz was trying to go into God and monism and sort of reduce mathematics to noughts and ones and stuff like that. In digital physics, existence of thought would consist of only computation. However, not all computation would necessarily be thought. Thus, computation is the single substance of the monolith metaphysics. I can definitely see this. It's amazing that Leibniz is the father of calculus and also digital stuff. It all came up to it. Leibniz is something. So there are some variants of digital philosophy, however. Most of them are digital data theories that views all physical reality and cognitive science and so on as the framework of information theory. Or I definitely think that, you know, we have a certain scale because we can't get further information in. I don't know what that means. Discordianism, whatever that means. Discordianism. Discordianism is a paradigm based on the Principia Discordia written by Greg Hill and Kerry Wynne in 1963, the two working under the pseudonyms of Malkapis the Younger and Orman Karen Rivers. What? Now that is what Discordianism. That is just great. Now imagine you miss all this if you don't go through your, a book, Principia Discordia. Okay, they've written, according to self-proclaimed crackpot historian Adam Gourightly, Discordianism was founded as a parody of religion. Many outside observers still discord as a parody of religion, although some adherents may utilize its legitimate religion or as a metaphor for government philosophy. Principia Discordia, if read literally, encouraged the worship of Greek goddess Eris, known in Latin as Discordia, the goddess of disorder, or archetypes, the idea associated with her. This is like the flying spaghetti monster. What's that one called? So that's interesting. It's a pre of Discordians, Eris, now Audio. I'm just really trying to think of it. Paraphernalian, something or other. Pastophernalian. So I wonder if Pastophernalia is in there. Depending on the version of Discordian, Eris might be considered a goddess exclusively of disorder or the goddess of disorder and chaos. Both of you supported by the Principia Discordia. The Principia Discordia holds three core principles. The Aneseric order, the Eristic daughter, and the notion that both are mere illusions. Due to these principles, a Discordian believes there is no distinction between order and chaos, disorder and chaos, since the only difference between the two is that one refers to order. An argument presented by this text is that it is only by rejecting these principles that you can truly perceive reality as chaos. Founding structure, the popes. Oh my god, I've got to read it. According to Principia of Discordia, every single man, woman, and child on earth is deemed a pope. Included in the principle is an official pope card that can be reproduced and distributed freely amongst anyone and everyone. Papacy, however, is not granted through possession of this card. It merely informs the people that they are a genuine authorized pope. Oh, that's sheer genius. Saints. There are also five classes of saints in Discordism, who are those who best act as exemplars to the close of perfection. Only the first of these classes, second class, saints second class, contains real human beings, deceased and alive. The higher classes, reserved for fictional beings who, by dint of being fictional, are better able to reach Discordian view of perfection. Oh, I love it. So everyone's a pope, you should get a pope card. Well, that's, you know, that's brilliant. A dualistic cosmology is a moral or spiritual belief that two fundamental concepts exist, which often oppose each other. It is an umbrella term to discover diverse views of various religions. Yeah, I don't know. This sounds like dialectical materialism. I really haven't quite got my handle on that. I've sort of got a bit more from materialism in that it's just that there's dialecticism is Hegel, and materialism is that there's this evolution process, and an interaction process. Dharvita. This is a school of Vedanta tradition of Hindu philosophy. Whatever it is. Okay. Ease. I might stop after ease. Ecocentrism is a term used by ecological political philosophy to denote nature-centered, as opposed to human-centered systems of value. Ecumenism is believe that all Christians are different, but they're the same. Egalitarianism, egocentrism is. Oh, I love that. That's the thing. Is the inability to differentiate between self and others. More specifically, it is the inability to untangle subjective schemas and objective reality, and the inability to accurately assume or understand perspective. So, I love Discordian. It's like Pastor Fernalian, but egocentrism seems to be the fact that Trump believes he's powerful. Eliminative materialism is the claim that people's common sense understanding of the mind is false, and certain classes of mental states that most people believe in do not exist. It is a materialist position in the philosophy of the mind. Some support of eliminativism materialism. My godfather, let's try and get that one out. It is a materialist position in the philosophy of the mind. Some supporters of eliminativism argue that no coherent neutral bias will be found for many everyday psychological concepts such as belief and desire. I could almost go with that, since they are poorly defined. Rather, they argue that psychological concepts of behavior and experience should be judged on how well they reduce to a biological level. Other versions entail the non-existence of the conscious mental states such as pain and visual perceptions. Here we go. Eliminativism about a class of entities is the view that the class of entities does not exist. For example, materialism tends to be eliminativist about the soul. Okay, yeah. Most chemists are eliminativist about phlogiston. The modern physicists are eliminativist about the existence of luminous ether. Okay. Eliminative materialism is a relatively new 60s to 70s idea that certain classes of mental entities that common sense takes for granted, such as beliefs, desires, and subjective sensations of pains, do not exist. The most common version of eliminativism is about propositional attitudes expressed by Paul and Patricia Churchland, and eliminativism about qualia, the subjective interpretation of the particular instances of subjective experience expressed by Daniel and George Ray. These philosophers often appeal to the introspectional illusion. I would agree. I would think that I don't think people should say it's sort of like your home invasion by luminous ether and phlogiston. It's like, right, we got them out the door. Let's go and have our family meal. But you shouldn't hunt for the rest of them. So I agree with that one. What's the other one? Is Discordianism. Okay. Empiricism, which is Festerian empiricism, is Locke and John Locke and David Hume. I don't know. I think he's a bit more there, but Festerian school. Sometimes referred to the philosopher that Heraclitus Ephorus, who considered that being of all the universe is fire. Why? According to him, the being is material and one, but at the same time he acknowledges the world witnesses. Well, Ephestrian is a fire philosophy. Although there is never an official Hephaestus in school, Diogenes, boy, they're all called Diogenes, mentions his philosophy did have followers and called them Heliclians. Plato portrays Cleis in his dialogue of the same name as a discipline of Heracles. Motion, the achievement of fire, is discordant in Helmus, even though harmony is the final result of the process. I sort of can get that, because you like Lagrangians and may not be fire, but he might have been trying to have a stab at Miltonius. Ephemeralism. Okay. Now, Epicureanism. I love Epicureanism. Epiphenomenalism. Sorry, mate, for doing it. It's a position that the mind-body problem, which is, do I have a mind, holds the physical and biochemical events within the human body, sense organs, neural impulses, muscle contractions, for example, are causal with respect to mental events, thought, consciousness, cognition. According to this view, subjective mental events are completely dependent on the existence on corresponding physical and biochemical events within human bodies, and themselves have no causal emphases on physical events. The appearance that subjective mental states, such as intentions, influence physical events is merely an illusion. For instance, fear seems to make the heart beat faster, but according to ephemeralists, the biochemical sensations of the brain and nervous systems, such as adrenaline, not the experience of fear, is what raises the heartbeat. Okay. Because mental events are a kind of overflow that cannot cause anything physical, yet have non-physical properties, ephemeralism is viewed as a form of property dualism. I can see is that there's a valid point in there somewhere, but we've got to move on. Epicurus is just my absolute here. This is Epicurus is a system of philosophy based on the teaching of the ancient Greek philosopher Epicurus, founded in 307 BC. Epicurus was an atomic materialist following the steps of Democritus. His materialism gave him a general lack attack on superstition. What's really interesting is that he said he did atomic stuff, and he said the atomic stuff in our body, we must be cells. He basically got cell theory out of nothing. Now, I just really like him, and the Epicurean is not that you should seek out pleasure and good food. You should just enjoy the food that you have and the conditions that you have. It's very much more down to earth. Epistemological nihilism is a philosophical school of thought that questions the possibility of certainty in knowledge. Skeptic philosophers from different historical periods adopted different principles of arguments, but their ideology can be generalized into one denial, blind knowledge. Epistemology. Now, I thought that was not a religion thing. Is a branch of philosophy concerned with the theory of knowledge. Esotericism refers to curtain. A mystery tradition. Loosely related ideas, movements, development, Western science. There's mystery, esotericism. I sort of like that. I love the idea of a Pope card, a freely printed Pope card. That's brilliant. Okay. The term uses to categorize a range of loosely related ideas and movements developed in Western society. The ideas and currents are united in the fact that are largely distinct from Orthodox Jewish and Enlightenment rationalism. Esoterism has pervaded various forms of Western philosophy, religion, pseudoscience, art, literature, music, continuing to affect intellectual ideas of popular culture. The idea of grouping a wide range of Western traditions and philosophies together under the category that is now termed esotericism developed in Europe during the late 17th century. Various academics have debated how to define Western esotericism, with a number of different positions held. It's best to go back to Pythagoras. I wonder if they do that. One scholarly model adopts the definition from certain esoteric schools of thoughts themselves, treating esotericism as a perennialist hidden inner tradition. which is, yeah, I sort of, this is the entire hidden under the curtain. A second perspective sees esotericism as a category that encompasses movements that embrace the enchanted worldviews in the face of increasing disenchantment. A third view of Western esotericism is a category encompassing the Western cultures of rejected knowledge that accepted neither by neither scientific establishment or orthodox religious authorities. I think this is esotericism is sort of the New Age crystal cult. Esotericism is a secret. This is sort of like, you know, chance. I would say homeopathic medicines would be underneath that esotericism. Okay, ethics. I like that. Eudaimonism. So monistic is this weird thing. Now this is really interesting that you've got Pythagoras doing a dot in the sand and setting all this thing in history, but no one teaches it. You know, why is that? So eudaimonia, sometimes anglicized as eudaimonia, is a Greek word commonly translated as happiness and welfare. Human flourishing or prosperity, the blessedness. Oh, it sounds a bit like the American, you know, philosophy, you know, the American prosperity doctrine that they sell in all those, you know, he believed in God and he got lots of money. His sales went up enormously. It consists of good and spirit. The certain concept of historical ethics and political philosophy. Discussion links between virtue and character, happiness, is one of the central concerns of ancient ethics, and the subjects are much to disagree. As a result, there are many varieties of eudaimonism. Two of the most influential forms are those of Aristotle's and Stoics. Oh, okay. Well, Stoics was ethics, and Aristotle was reasoned virtue. And it's really interesting that the new, what's it, Philip of Fort, saying there's weak and stuff. But it's, so this, it's eudaimonia. So this is, be a good steward. There's Pyrrho, Epicurus, the Stoics, all, this will probably view to read. I might go back to eudaimonia. I sort of like to possibly go back to this. Now, existentialism, that is your existence. This is Jean Paul Sartre that I start off with, you being existing. See what it actually says here. It may put it better than I can. Is a traditional philosophical inquiry which takes as a starting point the experience of the human subject, not merely the thinking subject, but the acting, feeling, living human being. It's associated mainly with the European philosophers. You can see Nietzsche in there. Eternalism is a group of positions in the philosophy of the mind which argues that the conscious mind is not the result of what is going on inside the nervous system, but also occurs or exists outside the subject. It is contrast with internalism, which holds the mind emergence from neural activity. That's really like God. Now we're going to hit F, and feminist philosophy, Fiel Party. That's right, functionalism, free will, and fundamentalism. Well, you go. This is actually a bizarrely good thing to do, because I wouldn't have come up with Discordianism. Danish philosophy is a philosophy of the Danish people. Didacticism, dialectic and materialism, I now understand a bit more. Digital philosophy is pretty amazing that it's come through Leibniz. I don't think the idea that your philosophy of information theory is really fundamental to quantum mechanics, but I just think the people, you just read it, you say, this person does not understand quantum mechanics at all. Okay, well, thanks a lot for listening. And I've done up to F, and Discordianism is just absolutely fantastic. I'll see if I can remember that in future. Thanks a lot for listening. Thank you.
podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.